Right, yeah. Good morning. So good to finally have you here, team from Team Namibia. Thank you for enduring that long journey. Oh, but I can already see amazing things. I am already blessed just to see what you brought already in the short time. Thank you. And a very warm welcome to JT and Nicole. From Lusaka McKinney, they come to join us. So, yeah, lovely to have you all here. excuse me. What happened a couple of weeks ago now, as you'll remember, it was one of the most incredible services that I can remember here. And there wasn't much time left for me to really give the full baptism of the Holy Spirit sermon that I had prepared. So Ryan actually called me later or sent me a message and said, I really think we need to finish what you started there. Excuse me. So, for those of you who were here, you will be hearing some things twice, but that's not a bad thing. It helps ingrain it in our minds, so please be graceful and, yeah, be patient with us. But for those who are new, this will be new. and I also just want to, again, start from the beginning and just quickly, for 2 minutes, go over the fact that we are going through like a foundation series type thing where the foundations mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 to 3. I remember reading that some time ago and thinking, wow, I didn't realize that these foundations that are spoken here of are actually what you call it, basic teachings that we shouldn't be struggling with. And when I read through that list of six items, I thought, well, I must admit, I myself am not actually au fait and comfortable totally with all these things. So I thought, yo, we better pay attention to this. And so we've done the first two and we're on the third one now, which is the doctrine of baptisms. And the baptisms is a plural word, so there's more than one. And we know that we've covered the baptism in water, which is being baptized into Jesus, and now we are doing baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptisms in the English is sometimes debatable, but I've learned that baptism in the Greek is like not negotiable. There's no doubt that baptism in the Greek means to be immersed. And so there are two ways to be immersed. One is to jump into the swimming pool, and the other one is to stand on the Victoria Falls. The one you get into, the one comes from above. But both ways, you are going to be sopping wet at the end of it. And so being baptized in the Holy Spirit is mentioned in all four Gospels. I won't read each verse, but it's Matthew 3, verse 11, it's Mark 1, verse 8, Luke 3, verse 16, and John 1, verse 33. In all of those Gospels, it is clearly stated by John the Baptist that he baptized in water, but Jesus will baptize in the Holy Spirit. And so there's like no doubt. No one can say, oh, well, it was only in that Gospel and the other. All four Gospels have clearly stated it. Jesus himself said in Acts 1, verse 4 to 5, he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So that's Jesus himself saying, be prepared. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And just something that I noticed was that he is speaking to believers. People who have put all their belief and all their faith in Jesus Christ. And yet he said, wait, you will be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. So what happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, in Acts 1 verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, what Jesus wants from us is for us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. That's what he wants. And in order for that to become a reality, we need to be filled with his Holy Spirit. We need the power that comes with the Holy Spirit in order to be his witnesses to the end of the earth. The Holy Spirit gives us things which we do not have in our own humanity, in our own strength. We do not have what the Holy Spirit has in order to do what he wants us to do. And so that is why we need it so badly. Now I'm going to be ending off with this, but Ryan has already mentioned it, and I'm going to spend some time on this at the end. And he was talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but the fact that we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus has said, he said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with him. That was in John 14, verse 23. And in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe within your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And so, again, Ryan explained it so nicely the last time. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you have something which scholars call the indwelling of the Spirit. Jesus comes and lives in you by his Spirit. But then there seems to be clearly stated in Scripture that there's kind of like a second event where the Holy Spirit is poured out on you and fills you to overflowing. And that's what we call the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to get to that at the very end. I just wanted to make mention now. Let's again just have a quick look at Acts 2, verse 1 to 4 on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit led them. So three things to just notice there. Firstly, it was a baptism, as we've mentioned already. The Holy Spirit came from heaven and it absolutely filled that room, and it filled all the people in that room. Secondly, each one was individually filled and had an individual and personal experience with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a group thing. Each person had an intimate experience with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, there was an overflow from that infilling. And in Matthew 12, verse 34 and 35, it says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So that is like almost like a universal law, is that when we are filled with something, it will come out. And probably 98% of the time, it will come out through our mouth, whether we sing, whether we praise, whether we talk, whether we whatever. So at the last time we spoke about this, I actually spent quite a lot of time on speaking in tongues. So So I'm not going to do that this time around, except just mention a few things. Okay. It doesn't happen every time in the Bible when the Holy Spirit filled someone when they spoke in tongues. It did not happen every time. But we can confidently say that very often, one of the manifestations of the infilling of the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues and prophesying. One of those two things. So it's not something that we should be nervous of. And the other thing I noted was that, and I think it's just important to mention this, is that when that comes, when we talk about prophecy and speaking in tongues, it's not like the Holy Spirit comes and takes complete control of your body and your mind and you speak something that you have no control of. The Holy Spirit will lead you into something and you need to be obedient to that and then to speak yourself. So it will take a bit of courage. I know. I think we all know. But, yeah. So that, I think it's important to just note that, that you also have a part in this. Okay. Another wonderful thing about being full of the Holy Spirit and just having the Holy Spirit in us is that it is both a seal and a deposit for us. Okay, now we know what a seal is. In doing some research, I've seen that when a person in this day and age bought a property, they would put a seal on a board, I think, outside that property. And everybody knew that seal. Everybody knew. When they looked at that, they knew exactly who it belonged to. And that is what the Holy Spirit is to us. It's like when you stamp that wax on a letter with your seal, showing that it comes from you and there's no mistaking it. So that's the first thing. It's a seal that seals us for Christ, that we belong. And then the second thing is that it is a deposit. And this is so exciting because just like you buy something online and or you pay for a project and you pay 80%, the project is yours. You do have a balance, but it's yours. And that's the understanding of that. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, you must know that you belong to God and that He is coming to collect what belongs to Him. Okay. So that's the seal and the deposit. We also learned that the Holy Spirit is administered in two ways that we can see in the Bible. All right. The first one is like on the day of Pentecost and in Cornelius' house. It literally just came from heaven. Okay, they were praying, they were waiting on the Lord, and it just came from heaven and descended on them, and they were filled. So that's the first way. The second way is the praying and the laying on of hands. So those are the two ways that we see how we can receive the Holy Spirit. And a few scriptures just on the laying on of hands. We read in Acts 8, verse 14 to 19. I'll just read from 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Acts 9, verse 18. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then lastly, Acts 19, verse 6. So that was Paul having hands placed on him, and now it's Paul placing his hands on other people. So 19, verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Okay. We also see that there are two purposes for the Holy Spirit. The first one is that we receive supernatural power from God. And we need that supernatural power to be witnesses and to perform the signs and wonders that will follow followers of Christ. Okay? Because that can only come from God. Again, I want to read again Acts verse 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that power is supernatural power. It's God's power. By the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. I'm sorry. I was reading the end of the next verse. Sorry. If we go look at Romans 15 verse 18 and 19. This is Paul. He says, I will not venture to speak of anything except of what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So there again, Paul is just saying that it is nothing to do with me and my own strength and my own humanity. It is all through God and through His Spirit that lives in me. So that's what Paul is saying there. All right, so that's the first, and the first thing is to receive power from God. And then the second thing, and this was something that I've learned recently, it's to form unity in the body. You know that? Receiving the Holy Spirit is to form unity in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13 says, for we were all baptized by, or, in fact, what the scholars say, a more correct word to use there is in, we were baptized in one Spirit so as to form one body. That is why we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, to form one body. Okay, to be in unity in that body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given that one Spirit to drink. And so remember, we were always baptized in something, and we were also baptized into something. So we were baptized in water, we were baptized into Christ. Here we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we are baptized into the unity of the body of Christ, to form one body. Right, and just to finish off on the topic of the gifts of the Spirit, Paul says to us that we are to desire the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 to 5, I won't read all of it, but he says, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Every one of them, he's telling us to desire that. Maybe we can just read that one. Verses 1 to 5. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Someone was speaking about it earlier. It's for the body. It's for raising and building the body up. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather you prophesy. Isn't that lovely, eh? And then 1 Corinthians 14 verse 18 says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any one of you, or more than all of you. And then lastly, 1 Corinthians 12 verses 7 to 11, and it's just talking about the manifestation of the Spirit. It's talking about wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and then interpretation of tongues. These are all spirits These are all gifts from the one same Spirit. Okay. And the question I asked at the end of last 2 weeks ago was that these are all gifts. These are gifts. Why would you not want a gift from God? So now, I wanted to end off with this. It was something that in my preparation for the first sermon, I was really battling with, because I actually stood up and I said to you that, you know, it's very tough preaching on these things. They're difficult. And I myself do not understand it completely. I don't. I wish I would, but I don't. And I don't think many, you know, anyone else does understand it perfectly. So, referring back to the infilling, I mean, the indwelling and the infilling of the Spirit. So, there's one school of thought that says when you accept Jesus as Lord and you ask Him into your heart, you receive the Holy Spirit. I think we can all agree on that. And this is what we call the indwelling of the Spirit. Then there seems, in Scripture, to me it seems clear that there's a separate event that happens when we are filled to overflowing, and that's actually visible. There's a visible overflowing and infilling of the Spirit, and which we have called, or which we know as being baptized. And this is when we receive power in the form of gifts to accomplish the work that the Lord has planned for us to do. So it's almost like the first one, we receive the Spirit of God, and it's like our seal. We're going to heaven. We know that. We have the Spirit of God in us. And it's kind of like it's for yourself, in a way. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, with His gifts, it is for everyone else. It is for going out into the world. It's for reaching the nations. Okay, so that's why we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So that's the one camp. In case you didn't notice, that's kind of where I sit. Then there is the other school of thought that says, no. You know, once you receive the Spirit, when you first believe, that's it. That's it. You've got the Spirit of God. You don't need. Okay. And I was battling with this because I actually don't know how to argue that away. You know, in many, many things that we read in the Bible, there may be slight differences. But when I was looking at this, I was thinking, I feel like it's a technicality almost, and I feel like it's almost like it can be a stumbling block for people. Just like perhaps speaking in tongues is a stumbling block for people who are cautious about receiving the gifts of the Spirit. You know, speaking in tongues, if you don't know it, is weird. And so I just wanted to try and make this simple for myself. And I hope that, I can do that now for all of us. I don't think we should get lost up in heavy theological debates about you're filled once, you don't need again, you know. The end of the day, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can all agree on that. Okay. As we've been going through the series, another thing that I've realized is that, you know, what precedes the, okay, well, let's start. The first thing that happens when we become a child of God is that we repent of our sins. God points that out to us, shows us that we are sinners, and then we are called to repent. That's the first step that has to, and that was that number one of the six foundations, okay? Repentance. Then it's faith in God. It's faith in Jesus. Once you've repented, then you need to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, including you. So that's the pattern that we see. Repentance, belief in Jesus Christ, then it's baptism. baptized in water. Why do we get baptized in water? We get baptized because we identify with Jesus in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. So it's of huge importance that we go through that and we do it. Baptism in water, and then it's baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's being filled with the Spirit. That's the next step. So I think that in our modern day, we've left, like we haven't, because if you look at the scriptures, you see that Paul and all the other disciples have always placed great importance about that. Did you believe? Okay, repent and be baptized. That's it. Repent and be baptized. Don't repent and be baptized in 5 years' time. Repent and be baptized. And then Paul often would ask, were they filled with the Holy Spirit? Were you filled with the Holy Spirit? And then the guys were like, I'm not sure. Okay, I'm praying for you. We're going to pray for you now. And so I think that in our day and age, this has become a little more confusing because we don't follow that pattern quickly and well. We see that it was all of great importance in the early church. Repent and be baptized. Do it quickly. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And now we've lived, you know, you were saved, and then 5 years later you were baptized, and then another 5 years later you received, you were filled with the Holy Spirit. So I think, for me at least, going forward, I would say, let's follow the pattern of the Bible. Let's repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe the confusion and the debate will subside. You must know that as I was thinking and preparing for this, the enemy, the last thing the enemy wants is for you to be filled with the Spirit of God. The last thing. If you aren't filled, then you probably be operating in your own spirit, in your own strength. And the devil can work with that. The devil cannot work with someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit. So he's going to try everything. He's going to try get the debates going, get the heavy theological discussions going. That's going to prevent people from doing this. So I want to end off now by giving you the opportunity, as I was given in Chisumba at an elders meeting when we first arrived. The question was asked, was there a point in time where you remember clearly having people pray over you and lay hands on you that you would receive the Holy Spirit? If you cannot think of a date or time where that actually happened, where you can say, absolutely, it's been done, then I want to say, let's do it today. If you haven't had that opportunity, if you can't remember a specific date and time, then just say, yeah. And I was also thinking, like, how is it so wrong? So if I'm unsure, all I'm asking is for God to fill me with the Spirit. And we know in Luke 11, verse 13, we know that he says, if you ask, if you thirst and long for the Spirit of God, and you ask him, he will give it to you. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, I'd say, don't leave today if you haven't had that. If you can't leave here without a shadow of doubt in your mind, then do it today. You're only asking God for his to fill you with his Holy Spirit. That's all. I mean, that's a great thing. That's the best thing. All right. So we pray. Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for... I start every prayer by just thanking for who you are, Lord God. You are so good, so kind, and patient, and gracious, Lord. Father, I just pray today that we wouldn't leave here without knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have the whole of your Spirit living in us. And not just living but overflowing, Lord, and working in us and through us for the benefit of the body and for reaching the nations, Lord. We need your Spirit, and we need all of it, Lord. We need to be so filled. Because when we are filled with your Spirit, that means there's nothing else in us. When we aren't, that means we have junk in us. We have self. We have things of the world that are in us. And Lord, we want to replace that stuff. We want to chuck that out and ask for you to put your Holy Spirit in us so that we can be all that you have called us to be, Lord. And I really pray that today that people would take that step of faith like a child and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Pray it and ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.